6.06 on RTE 2FM with Griffith College. There's a bigger choice for a brighter future at Griffith College. Who do you want to be?
Welcome to Countdown to 6.06, the exam programme on RTE 2FM. I'm Evelyn O'Rourke and I will be your Sherpa for the next 3 weeks through the Leaving Cert here and the Junior Cert. As ever, 2FM is here to hold your hand. We're with you at the festivals. We're with you at the best venues in town. And for the next 3 weeks, we're with you in the exam hall. Starting tonight and over the coming weeks, we'll be on air every night from 7pm, Monday to Friday, where we will cover as many of the subjects, questions, queries, hints and tips that you need to get you through the exams successfully. Our email address is 606@rte.ie and you can text us at 51552. Get your questions in as early as possible and they stand quite a good chance of being answered by our top panel of fabulous experts. Tonight we're also joined by Brian Mooney, Career Guidance Counsellor, and he'll be talking us through how best you can use the time available to you now. Sitting beside Brian is Jim Lusby, a teacher from the Institute of Education, who'll be looking at the English papers for us. So tonight we're focusing on English. Start getting your questions into us now and he will have a look at them for you now.
6.06.
If you're going into paper one, you need to know how to minimise the amount of time you spend reading the paper. For instance, the first page of paper one is predictable. It's the same every year. There's only one item of importance on it, which is the general theme of the paper. Last year it was lifestyle. One word, you read that one word and then you go searching for...
And that's your key. That's what's going to unlock paper one for you.
That's the theme of the paper.
Okay, so your advice is when students go into the hall on that first day for English paper one, they sit down, deep breath.
deep breath. I'll take one myself
now. Yeah.
You've got 20 minutes reading and preparation for the paper. Identify the theme of the paper on the front page. Ignore the rest of it. You should be so familiar with the rest of the front page that you can have it memorised. Then I would suggest you go to the back page, select your composition. You should go into the exam knowing which type of composition you favour, your first choice, short story, personal essay, discussion essay. You should go in knowing the techniques appropriate for that type of composition. And you make your choice quickly then in relation to the composition. You jot down your basic approach, how you're going to approach
that. Instinctive reaction, your first thoughts.
Yeah. You jot them down, you don't get hung up on them, and you move on to the rest of the paper. While you're reading the rest of the paper, anything you've jotted down in the initial stages is going to work in the subconscious. So you come back to it and you'd be amazed, really, won't you?
Mm-hmm,
you
know,
what has occurred to you?
I've always said that the first thing a student should do when they go into the examination is read the paper and then go to the back of the answer book and identify the questions you're going to do and jot down... literally, just in graphic form, the key points of what you're going to do. And you will probably remember about 50% of it at the first go. But your subconscious is working the whole time.
Can I add something very important here? It's absolutely vital to jot down an idea when it comes to you, because you will forget it. You're under so much stress. And you know when you remember it? When you walk out of the
exam. You're walking down the road.
At McDonald's later having your burger.
The language will be choice at that stage. That's when you're going to remember it. Jot it down as soon as it occurs to you. You may not use it, but it will be useful. Jot it down. So that's the composition taken care of, or your choice of composition.
Okay, so you're saying identify the composition title that suits you and start the brain working on that.
Jot down
then
your initial impressions.
What are you doing next?
Then there are three texts on paper one. One is a combined written and visual text. Now, you need to know whether you can handle that technically. You need to know whether you can discuss technically photographs, the techniques of photography and art. If you can't do that, you're eliminating that text.
And should you know that before you go into the exam
hall? Of course you should. You should know
that decision is made.
Everything that's technically required, you should be familiar with and know before you go in there.
So no surprises. That's not my strength. I'm out of there.
Now you eliminate that as a questionnaire, as a comprehension question. That leaves the other two texts. What I would recommend to cut down on the amount of time is that you read the italicised introduction to each text so that you're familiar with, or you familiarise yourself with what's involved in it, and you read the questions. Because after all, one of the things I'll be stressing repeatedly tonight is you only get marks for answering the questions that you're asked. So the questions are your focus. You know, that's the most important thing. Read the questions and then decide which questionnaire, which comprehension text you want to do. And then you have an additional one on the higher level paper, which is question B, the short composition. You decide which short composition you want to do as well. Having made all your decisions, then you can go back and read the text in detail that you're going to answer the comprehension questions on. That's the most, I've found that's the most fruitful, the most effective, the most efficient way of approaching paper one in English.
And all the time, that other bigger composition title is ticking away.
It is. In terms, if you want to break down in terms of marks and time, by
please
the way,
do.
I think,
yeah, give us a roadmap for that.
A query. The composition is worth 100 marks. The full length composition is worth 100 marks, which is precisely 25%, a quarter of the entire mark. So how you perform on the composition, the English composition, will to a large extent determine your grade in English. It will be very influential. So it's very, very important. You have about 80 minutes for the composition. Allowing 20 minutes, and please, for God's sake, don't start writing immediately.
There's really? Because the temptation is to go, at last, yeah, I'm here, yeah. You know, we're out of the blocks here.
There's a comfort in writing, there's comfort in activity, which is misplaced,
Actually.
You have 80 minutes then for the composition, you have 35 minutes for question A and 35 minutes for question B. That's the breakdown of the time allocation on paper one. And you have 100 marks for the composition and 50 marks for question A, 50 marks for question B.
606.
Welcome to Countdown 2606. Jim Lusby in studio with us this evening discussing the English paper and Brian Mooney sitting beside him. Now, we've lots of questions coming in for you, Jim, about Macbeth and which poets are going to come up. Let's get going on paper two, which is the real work. Lots of stuff coming in. Hi, could Yeats be left out?
In your dreams. In relation to the prescribed poets, a lot of work, by the way, for 50 marks on the English paper too. You've got 8 prescribed poets. You've got 4 questions on the paper. If you're doing probability and higher level maths, you can work out the figures. You do, mathematically, you are certain, you're guaranteed a question on the prescribed poetry section if you study 5 of the 8 poets. Now, if you leave out Yeats, that leaves 7. So the answer is yes, you can leave out Yeats, you can leave out 3. Poets, leave out Yeats and John Donne and T.S. Eliot, who are probably the 3 most difficult poets. I mean, if you're not really into poetry, some students are very enthusiastic about their Eliot and their Yeats and the rest of it. But if English is one of many subjects and not your favourite subject, and you want to reduce your commitment in terms of the prescribed poetry, omit the more difficult poets, Yeats, Eliot and
Donne. How exposed are you then on the day?
Not at all. You have 5 poets. If you've studied 5 poets, you're guaranteed at least 1 question. And I would think this year, while I don't have a glimpse of the paper yet, if you leave out Yeats and Donne and Eliot, because they are the 3 most difficult poets, they're hardly going to appear simultaneously on the same paper.
Okay.
That would create some difficulty for students. So you can anticipate that one of those 3 poets might be on the paper, which leaves you with 3 questions out of the other 5 poets. You don't have a difficulty. You can leave out any 3 poets that you like. It's no problem.
606.
Jim, Macbeth.
Macbeth. How long do I have?
Here's another one. If I learn a whole Macbeth essay on the theme of evil, which includes all the characters, and try to apply it to whatever question comes up and the correct realises learnt off essay, will they mark it harshly?
I'll respond to that one first. What happens if you get a question on appearance and reality in Macbeth? You're not answering the question if you write an essay on evil.
The appearance of evil?
Possibility,
so
all right.
So no, not but, a clever way to
plausible.
Go with it. Don't learn off
no,
one
it's
essay.
No, it's not. The essential thing in relation to the single text, and this applies to all the other single texts, not just Macbeth as well, but the novels and the plays on as single texts. It's different from any other section of paper two. In the single text question, you are given a quotation. The quotation specifically asks you to focus on 2 or 3 aspects of the text. Unless you focus specifically on those 2 or 3 aspects. In other words, you're being challenged to confront the quotation, take it apart, and assess each different aspect of it. And that's entirely different. The questions on poetry, prescribed poetry and comparative study are general, so you can prepare a great deal more there. The task in the single text is to use the knowledge that you already have to respond to the specific demands of the question. In relation to what you should know about Macbeth, kingship, essentially you should understand good and evil in Macbeth. But even more importantly, if you get a question on kingship or good and evil or whatever you get a question on, please don't assume that the terms are self-explanatory. What the hell does good and evil mean anyway? George Bush calls Osama bin Laden evil. Osama bin Laden calls George Bush evil, which is right. You know, so you have to, you are invited in the single text question to discuss these concepts, these ideas. You don't have
don't
to.
Don't stray off into.
No, don't stray and don't think that you have to have philosophical or absolute definitions of these terms. They're explorations of the themes.
There's no right or wrong answer.
There's no right or wrong.
It's
right
about
wrong.
You putting a convincing argument across.
Yeah. If you, I will say one last thing about good and evil, for the moment anyway, in relation to Macbeth. You understand it in relation to this. Good in terms of the play, good is the service of others, serving others, and obviously a king, kingship is a king ruling in the interests of others. Evil within the play is understood as self-interest, people who will do anything to serve their own ambitions, their own interests,
so
which
Lady
is Macbeth and Lady
your,
Macbeth. So you have those who serve themselves, those who serve others. And
serving
if you
others good,
that,
serving yourself bad.
Okay. And one is kingship and the other is tyranny.
There's a huge question I have for you regarding the single text. I'm doing Macbeth in high level. I'm not 100% on quotes, only knowing a few key ones, about 10 of them. Will this be enough or should I revise a few more from James?
No, that'll be enough, provided the quotes, you use the quotes relevantly and effectively in your answer. The question does specify that you can discuss the quotation given by use of quotation or reference to the play. You don't you do, in order to get full marks on the single text essay, you do need to have quotations, certainly in relation to Shakespeare. However, you don't need to, in particular, you should not have lengthy quotations. Any student who puts down Macbeth's 30-line soliloquy, for instance, without analysis of it, is simply misusing quotations. Use short, relevant quotations, incorporating them into your critical points. Don't get hung up on quotations.
Yeah, what happens if you get a quote wrong? Are you penalised?
That's the same as getting a spelling wrong. If it depends how bizarre the quotation is.
Like, you know? If you're winging it, then
well,
no.
Well, I remember one student, in relation to Macbeth, one student wrote down, of mine wrote down once, after the murder of Duncan, Macbeth and Lady Macbeth spend their nights in restless ecstasy. which is an actual quote, but misplaced.
Interesting, interesting. I'm an honours English student, really aiming for an A in English, but a bit worried about what to focus on in the single text Macbeth, be it theme, character, or imagery. Can you help, Dee?
Yeah, there are three possible areas where you can be asked questions in relation to Macbeth. One is the main characters. The other are the central themes, the main themes. And the other are technical aspects, such as the power of the imagery, the language, the dramatic power of the play. If you cover two of those areas, in other words, if you're familiar with the characters, the main characters, and with the main themes, and there's really good and evil, kingship and tyranny, appearance and deception are the main themes. If you've covered characters and themes, you're well prepared.
6-0-6.
Please. Okay, we get it. Summarise comparative studies, followed by 18 exclamation marks. Our teacher said theme and issue won't come up in Honours English.
What you cover in comparative, three modes in comparative study. There are two questions, so you study two of them. It doesn't matter if you study theme or issue as one of your modes and cultural context as the other, you're guaranteed a question. So you're playing the odds, which is what we've been stressing all night. You know, you play the odds and you pitch the odds in your favour. Does somebody want an explanation of comparative study?
Please.
Yeah? How long have I got for this one?
Oh, I'd say I'd give you 15 seconds.
15 seconds, all right. Cultural context asks you to study the fictional societies in the text. And fictional societies are studied with reference to the same criteria that you use for studying any society. The roles of men and women, the role of the pub, work, employment, unemployment, poverty, and the rest of it. The other mode, the second mode, is general vision and viewpoint, which asks you to discuss whether a text is predominantly optimistic or predominantly pessimistic. And theme or issue is self-explanatory, really. It's the central theme, central concern of a text.
Chloe here for the comparative. Is it okay to study just two texts? Will you be able to answer any question with just two texts?
You are expected to have studied three. You are unlikely to get very high grades if you use only two texts in answering the question. Also, one of the questions in the comparative study is usually divided into two sections, where you're asked to discuss one text individually and then compare two other texts, which means that you can't manage that by having only two texts. You really need to be familiar with three.
606.
Email 606@rte.ie. Tomorrow night we do French, we do Irish. We would love to hear from you. 606@rte.ie. Good night. Talk to you tomorrow.